Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:08 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 5th. And a pretty eventful day in the last hour of the day on Wall Street. At the high, the Nasdaq was at a new all-time high. It was at 54.81 and a quarter. And it is finishing out the day at 54.21. So off 60 points off its peak. I was feeling rather anxious this morning with having a short, but what I ended up doing was increasing the short instead when I saw that the market was pulling back. And that's not the right ticker. The NASDAQ 100 then posted a downside key reversal 2 weeks ago. It did not post a downside key today, but it was not unable to hold its peak. And this also suggests that we are still in a choppy environment, that when we look, and of course the NASDAQ is the leading index, so when we look at, for example, the S&P 500, then there is a mild downward bias evident within this range, and it has just pulled back, but it is off the low, and this isn't a clear downward dynamic, but what it does suggest is that we are still in a corrective environment. When we look at the Russell 2000, that had been one of the weaker indices, and then we had that big downward dynamic 2 weeks ago, and we're now actually back testing the low of that dynamic. It's been largely range-bound for 4 months already, and this is a representative of a loss of momentum, certainly over just the last while. It has unwound most of its overbought condition relative to the trend mean. What happens next is going to tell us a lot. I also opened a short here because I think that the likelihood is that we are going to have a more choppy environment, that we have gone through the most favorable seasonal time of the year for stock markets, and that was flattered even more so on this occasion because of the market reaction to President Trump's victory in November. But now the Fed is not only beginning to talk about how it is going to raise interest rates, but it is beginning to talk about how it can shrink the size of its balance sheet. And the size of the balance sheet and what exactly they're going to do with it is a big question. And this is the size of the balance sheet. We're talking about almost $4.5 trillion. It has been very steady around this 4.7 level for really 2.5 years, which suggests that the Fed has been reinvesting its maturing issues. What are they going to do to contract the size? Well, they may stop reinvesting their maturing debt. What that is going to do is it's going to remove what has been a guaranteed buyer from the bond markets. It also suggests that this isn't going to be a process that is going to be met with a particular enthusiasm by bond investors. But at the same time, the bond market, the initial reaction today was to think, to really deny that it was going to have any kind of bearish outcome. And yields were a little bit tighter, because what the bond market has doubted all along is that the Fed will be able to raise interest rates, and that they are now betting that they're going to be unable to shrink the size of the balance sheet. There is an additional way of thinking about it, and it is this, that if the Fed's holdings of treasuries at $4.5 trillion, then, and of course it is treasuries and mortgage bonds, then if they start to allow that enormous quantity of bonds to mature, it is going to restrict supply. And if they are just letting the bonds mature rather than selling them, then it isn't going to flood the market with supply. It is simply going to allow the size of the overall bond market to shrink, and therefore the likely outcome is could potentially be beneficial to the bond markets. That is probably the way that a number of bond market people are thinking right now. And because the conditioning effect that we've had in the bull market for bonds has been to buy the dips, then that is a strategy that would have to be seen to fail to work. And there isn't any evidence that it has failed to work just yet. This yield is still at the lower side of its range. It has not moved a great deal today, but if it were to break lower, then that would likely translate into a somewhat more choppy, larger reactionary phase in stock markets. The VIX index came off its low today, and but perhaps in a somewhat more dynamic fashion than it has done in the last while, and it is really quite low. This is the inverse of volatility, and therefore it tends to benefit from the time value decay that you get on in a market that is overwhelmingly in a contango. And it had this downside key reversal, and then it is working on another downside key in here today. So it does look like we are in a more volatile environment. Rather than specifically looking at stock markets, it is probably better to look at the reaction of various currencies to this news. And the euro is pretty much unchanged, having pulled back from that 109 level over the last 5 or 6 sessions. It has steadied up a little bit in here. The Japanese yen, which I think a lot of people have been watching very closely around this 110 area, has strengthened up on this news. There is the question, and it is a very large question as to because obviously reducing the kind of largesse that has allowed 4.5 trillion to flood the central bank's balance sheet, unwinding that is going to be a very delicate operation indeed. So the dollar index is back above the 100 level, but it really will need to hold that. There is the potential that the dollar could weaken from here, as and it all depends on just exactly how investors take this news. If buybacks have been perhaps the clearest conduit for extraordinary monetary policy to enter the stock markets, then I think the PKW ETF is going to be well worth keeping an eye on. It did break out. It has been underperforming the S&P 500, and it was in mildly negative territory in here today. But again, it's another instrument that was not able to hold its peak in here. And then we should probably look at oil prices, because the oil price got all the way up to $55 today. And this was also a day where we saw some pretty impressive job reports. So the US economy is doing better. The Fed is quite anxious to reload its policy arsenal before it has to redeploy at some point in future. That they must now be thinking that if they don't decide to change now, then when are they going to change their monetary policy? That is a very large question from the Fed's perspective. Now, the Chinese market did stand out today because it rallied really quite impressively. So that is pushing back up towards the upper side of the range. But I think that tomorrow is going to be a bit more of a volatile day. So really relying on what happened in Asia this morning is probably not going to be the most worthwhile pursuit. Perhaps better to look at safe haven type assets. And we can see gold, for example, was trading below $1,250 for a brief time today, but then was able to recoup its entire decline. So this is a potential bullish environment for a type of safe asset like gold or like bonds, particularly when we are quite cognizant of the clear reality that stock markets have had a really a very positive environment for not just the last 4 or 5 months, but really since the beginning of January. So, of January 2016, this has been a really quite an impressive advance. And the likelihood is that we are in a reversionary type process. And the S&P, for example, is still trading 100 points, or about 5%, above its 200-day moving average. So we have ample potential for a pullback and a consolidation before we get the next clear buying opportunity. Some of the largest technology shares have been the clearest beneficiaries. But Google, having rallied quite impressively over the last week, was not able to hold its high in here today. Facebook would appear to have been almost immune over the last while to any kind of selling pressure, but also it did not hold its break to new high ground today. And Microsoft, not only does it have the rather impressive yield, but it was not able to hold its high. In the comment of the day yesterday, I pointed out that there were top formations in some of the auto retailers. They have been some really among the very best performers since 2008, going from lows of 20 to highs of nearly 300 for O'Reilly Automotive. That's on a par with some of the most impressive moves that we've seen in some of the other larger cap shares, but this has type 3 top characteristics, and it was down very marginally in here today, but I suspect that 250 is going to be a very big level for this share, and personally I'm watching it rather closely. So I think the clear message is that we are still in a corrective phase. And that is consistent with what we have seen already, that we have had multi-month ranging phases which have been resolved by very impressive breakouts. And since this ranging phase or corrective phase began in March, then it would be really very quick if it was over right away. It would actually represent an acceleration rather than anything that could be viewed as particularly positive. An acceleration, of course, is good while it lasts, and then you get a corrective phase, which could potentially be even deeper. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.